Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Lots to catch up on over the last couple of days, so we'll try to do that as efficiently as possible today. And we'll start off with the stock, Tesla. Nice few days here. Up today 2.3% to close at $242.84 on the day. The Nasdaq up about 0.1% on the day, so nice overperformance. And we're up about 13% since I left on Friday, so more of a dramatic couple of days like I'm used to when I have to miss Tesla Daily. So nice to see that. Hopefully my return won't end the run, but apologies if that ends up being the case. So a couple things, you know, usually there's a lot of factors playing into the stock. A couple things I want to look at first, just macro items that we had wanted to keep an eye on. The Consumer Price Index and Producer Price Index have been released over the last couple of days. We'll talk about PPI, which was this morning. You can see these came in way below expectations. These are probably the most significantly below expectation PPI numbers that we have seen for quite some time. If we look at core, obviously there's a little bit more volatility in the headline number that includes food and energy, but core coming in flat month over month versus expectations of a 0.3% increase. You can see year over year plus 2.4% versus plus 2.7% expected. That's really, really close to the 2% target that the Fed has. So nice to see these numbers. And if we look at the impact, and I guess quickly on CPI, those came in about 10 basis points below expectations as well. So similar direction, not quite to the degree of magnitude that the PPI came in below expectations. And then if we look at interest rate expectations, so you can see 100% expectation for the next meeting in about 4 weeks to stay at the current interest rate. And more interestingly, if we look at rate expectation changes for the out periods, future meetings, you can see that those have almost entirely removed any expectation of a rate increase. And actually, when I was looking at it earlier today, there was completely zeros across the board for any increase for any of these periods of time. It looks like, unfortunately, those have now gone up a little bit from those zeros that I had seen before. But you can notice that for each of these time periods, compared to a week ago, expectations for increases have dropped no matter what period you're looking at. So, you know, for example, July we're looking at here a week ago, a little bit of an expectation for an increase, now almost none at all. And for rates dropping by that period of time, increased expectations. So CPI and PPI helping support that, and the market I think has pretty much decided that, you know, we've reached peak interest rates. That may be having to do with some outperformance from auto stocks over the last few days, as that, you know, rates have a little bit more of an outsized impact in those areas, as we've seen. All right, let's get into some Tesla news specifically. We've got quite a few updates on the Cybertruck, or a handful of updates on the Cybertruck. Probably most significantly, a TikTok video that came from, I think, Texas Town Tesla or something, Tesla Town Texas on TikTok. A lot of T's there. But you can see a couple of things here. You can see how the door works. Actually, you're getting into the vehicle, so not sure exactly, you know, who this person is, but they say there's going to be 70 delivered later this month. And then most interestingly, if I can get this paused in the right spot, you can see a little bit of the screen, which actually shows us a little bit of detail on things like state of charge, and they actually had a trip planned in here, which might give us a little bit of a hint at range, at least for this vehicle. Which, caveat, this could be a prototype vehicle, not necessarily the production trim that Tesla has in mind, though based on the vehicle, it did look relatively recent, relatively finished. So you can see 71% state of charge, 55 minutes remaining. Don't read too much into that because they do say the charge limit up to 100%, so generally no one's really charging in that way, at least not frequently. So 29% in 55 minutes towards that back half of the charge curve, the back quarter of the charge curve. I don't know how significant that is or how much we can learn from that at this point. The more interesting detail is the trip that they have planned in here is for 16 miles, and it looks like that's planned to take the range from 71% to 65%. If you take 16 miles divided by 6%, you're going to get 267 miles for the full capacity. And of course, we don't know for this specific trip. Maybe someone can figure out where this is exactly going to and things like elevation and speed, all that sort of stuff. So it doesn't give us a great estimate, but most likely this would be a vehicle that has somewhere around 300 miles of EPA range. You're probably not looking at something with 500 miles for this type of you know, state of charge change over that amount of miles. But again, difficult without knowing more about the conditions to get something a little bit more precise than that. So interesting on that. And then probably the other detail here, aside from just the layout, which we have seen a little bit of before, it also says that 50 kilowatt hours have been added so far during this charge session. We don't know the starting point, so that doesn't tell us a whole lot. All it tells us is that if you, again, divide 50 kilowatt hours by 71%, tells us that we're looking at a battery pack that's greater than 70 kilowatt hours, which, again, basically tells us nothing because I think everyone knew that that would be the case already for the Cybertruck. So, nevertheless, some interesting things there from this video. Another interesting video from Bearded Tesla on X. A really nice shot, really close up here of four-wheel steering in action, probably the best that we have seen so far. So I'll just play that. People can get a look at it. You can focus in on that rear wheel, and you can see how it is adjusting as they're reversing here. So probably, again, the best shot that we have seen of that four-wheel steering in action so far. And then some drama over the last couple of days, I guess, about the order agreements for Tesla. There was previously a clause in here that it didn't prohibit resale of Cybertruck for the first year, but it gave Tesla the right of refusal for a sale in the first year, basically giving Tesla the option to buy that vehicle back at certain, you know, terms versus allowing customers to resell it within that first year. This has been removed. I know people have strong opinions kind of on both sides, so I don't really want to get into whole debate on that since we've got other things to cover. But nevertheless, Tesla has removed that, at least at this point in time, from the motor vehicle order agreement. Doesn't mean it can't return at some point when the Cybertruck is actually shipping, but for now it has been removed. And then some other exciting news over the last couple of days. EG Group has agreed to a similar deal with Tesla for supercharger hardware, like we saw about a week or two ago from BP. So with that deal, we talked about how this could be, like we saw with the NACS adoption, maybe a first domino for many other companies to announce similar deals like this. It could eventually be a very significant business, or at least a pretty significant business for Tesla, selling supercharger hardware. So this, like the BP deal, will be EG Group acquiring the hardware. They're going to brand it as EV Point. You can kind of see a bit of that there. So that's what that'll look like. It will support the plug and charge protocol. So presumably you can just pull up and plug and charge like we're used to with Teslas at supercharger locations. And they do say that these will be rolling out before the end of the year. So again, very similar to the BP deal. I would imagine that these will eventually be included in Tesla navigation and planning and things like that. The release talks a little bit about requirements for uptime, like we had seen with BP. And just for some additional context on EG Group, they run a number of, I think, convenience stores and petrol stations over in the UK. They do about $25 billion a year in revenue, so a fairly significant size company. And they do have plans to expand their charging infrastructure to more than 20,000 chargers in the future. So they're at 600 right now. I don't think it was specified anywhere exactly the dollar amount of this deal or the number of chargers this is for. Of course, BP was for $100 million of chargers, but nevertheless, again, another step in expansion of this type of relationship for Tesla that I think we'll see more of in the future. All right, next we've got some price updates for Tesla. So first one here in the US, Tesla has now added back inventory discounts. So you may remember back at the beginning of this quarter, they lowered prices on new vehicles but removed all inventory discounts for Model 3 and Model Y. Except for demo vehicles, which there have always been an exception to new vehicle pricing. But now for new vehicles that are not demo vehicles, for the Model 3, we have seen this return at the level of about $1,500 per car right now. This is something that probably will change in the future as Tesla just tries to clear, find the clearing price for these cars. Especially for Model 3, as we wait for Highland to come over to the US, there's going to be pricing pressure, I think, on Model 3. So not terribly surprising to see this. As of right now, no new inventory discounts on the Model Y. And then in China, we see a continuation of the small price increases that we had previously seen. So for the standard range versions or rear wheel drive versions of the Model Y and the Model 3, those have now seen the same price increases that the long range version saw, 2,500 RMB for the Model Y, about $330 or so, and 1,500 RMB for the Model 3. For the Highland, which is about $200. So not huge price increases, but Still will be a little bit margin accretive in the China market. Then we've also got updated China insured vehicle sales for the week of November 6th through November 12th. A little bit of a drop here week over week from 14,000 the week prior now to 12,700, as you can see on the graph here. I think about 5,000 or so of those were Highland. We're in the middle of the quarter right now. This is, you know, you can see there's been periods of time of volatility in previous quarters at this point. So not too concerned about it. I guess not concerned about it at all. Just kind of an interesting, you know, thing that we'll follow over the next few weeks. But right now, Tesla could be exporting and that'll impact the numbers that we're seeing for domestic sales, which these are in China. All right, we also have a few visits from heads of state for Tesla, maybe not heads of state, but, you know, foreign ministers. So here is the Commerce Minister of India, visited Fremont recently, earlier this week. Unfortunately, Elon couldn't attend. He wishes Elon a speedy recovery. Not sure exactly what that was about. Elon did reply to this and said, "It was an honor to have you visit Tesla. My apologies for not being able to travel to California today, but I look forward to meeting at a future date." So good to see this. You know, we've, of course, heard a lot about India and what Tesla has planned there and the negotiations that are occurring. We've got a couple of updates on that. First from Financial Times here. They say that officials are discussing reducing the tariff rate, which I think is 70 to 100% or something like that on imported vehicles, down to maybe 15% for EVs at all prices. It's a little bit tiered for vehicle price in India for imports. But they're considering cutting that to 15% for a limited period of time, Financial Times said. And Bloomberg added a little bit more context on that, saying that they're considering those tax cuts for periods of up to 5 years. So that would allow Tesla a little bit easier access to the market, kind of establish a brand, establish a foothold, some infrastructure and things like that, before having to go all out on building a factory, potentially, in India. And then we also had the Prime Minister of Thailand visit, I believe, let's see, also Fremont, and just shared his thoughts on that visit. Obviously, it looks like they're having a pretty good time there and standing on top of the Cybertruck with Lars at Fremont. All right, then we've got a couple FSD things here. So first, FSD V12. Elon replied to a Holmar's post on this on X about the timeline. Any idea when customers might be able to try out FSD 12? Elon said about 2 weeks. So we don't know. Obviously, that's a little bit of a meme. We don't know if Elon is just memeing this or this is an actual timeline or maybe a combination of both, which could be. I don't want to speculate one way or the other. I think Tesla's trying to get this out kind of before the end of the year is what we had previously heard. So hopefully that still remains the case. This timeline would be awesome. This would correlate pretty closely with the Cybertruck delivery event. I don't know if Tesla would want to sort of merge those and have it be two big things at once or maybe stagger them out. Or maybe Tesla just doesn't even think about that, which is probably the most likely. But we'll see on that. And it looks like we're getting a new version of version 11, an updated version of version 11. So 11.4.8 right now, we're on 11.4.4 for hardware 4 or .7 for hardware 3 as the most recent versions. So Holmar's sharing some release notes here. I don't think any non-Tesla people have this yet, but and we're not going to go through every single release note item. You can, you know, pause the video and look at these if you want to. But the most significant update seems to be what Tesla is calling a new efficient video module, which they say... let's see, introduced a new efficient video module to the vehicle detection, semantics, velocity, and attributes networks that allowed for increased performance at lower latency. This was achieved by creating a multi-layered hierarchical video module that caches intermediate computations to dramatically reduce the amount of compute that happens at any particular time. So obviously this is not the conversion over to full neural networks that we were, you know, we're waiting for with version 12. But it looks like Tesla taking some steps in the interim to, as it says here, improve performance and specifically efficiency and at lower latency. So then a number of other updates here have to do with that, or Tesla more specifically calls out the improvements from the new video module in different performance areas. So interesting to see that. We'll, you know, keep an eye out for more extension of that into the customer fleet. But they do also talk about Vision Park Assist, looks like specifically for hardware 4 here. improving those predictions by 16% by leveraging 10 times more Hardware 4 data. Of course, as more Hardware 4 vehicles are out there on the road collecting this data. So fun to see that. We'll keep an eye out for more info. We've also got an update just on a sort of, I guess, a regulatory thing here. So Tesla had banned employees from wearing union shirts. That is, I guess, one way to put it. So the National Labor Relations Board said that that was not allowed. That ruling has been overturned by the Court of Appeals, Fifth Circuit Court. So this one, I don't think we need to spend much time on. Really highlighting this because we sometimes hear things from the National Labor Relations Board, and I think sometimes people just take that to be something that is, you know, a ruling or something that is a requirement. Doesn't necessarily always end up being the case. In this specific instance, it's not so much about wearing union shirts specifically as applied to the letter of the law, in my opinion. It's more about Tesla being able to enforce a dress code, and if the union shirts aren't falling within that dress code, then obviously it would make sense that they would not be allowed, regardless of what specific message they share on them. So trying to allow that as a, you know, an exclusion from a dress code sets a pretty difficult precedent for dress codes in general, which my opinion is that companies should be able to make those decisions. So at any rate, that's the update on that ruling. Quick update on Giga Mexico as well. Obviously, things are probably still moving slowly, but Adrian, CG on X, occasionally does drone flyovers of the property out there and did see a little bit of movement. There's an old structure here that it looks like one individual was getting to work on, starting to tear down, it looks like. So not much, but maybe a little bit of movement there for Giga Mexico. And then the last couple of things, as we have been talking about Cruise and first the DMV suspension of their capability to operate in San Francisco, then their temporary suspension of all their autonomous driving vehicles throughout the U.S. They are now also suspending or pausing their supervised and manual autonomous vehicle operations. I'm not sure exactly what that would be exactly, but their supervised vehicles aren't being paused as well. So they say that affects roughly 70 vehicles, not a huge count. And as we had talked about in their X post about suspending operations in general, they again are mentioning rebuilding public trust here, rebuilding trust multiple times. So they're doing internal investigations, trying to figure out exactly what's going on, and again, making significant efforts, which they are constantly mentioning about rebuilding trust. So we'll see on that. And then the last item for today, super exciting. The FAA has issued the launch license for Starship. So looks like this is going to, or, you know, knock on wood, there's a window open this Friday where SpaceX will be permitted to launch this. That'll open at 7 a.m. On November 17th. So very exciting. We'll keep an eye out for that. Hopefully the weather is good and everything goes smoothly. And as SpaceX says, excitement guaranteed if that does happen. All right, that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on X at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, November 16th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.